And today we've tracked down a member of the Howard government who ain't sitting on some dodgy shares. Naturally, he's been hauled over the coals and told to fall in line. Also today, England's rudest chat show, which shoes to wear when you're smuggling drugs, and on Radio Gladiators, we're once again looking for some cheap, harmless fun. We'll take a swan dive into the big pot of shite, check out the news and pictures. That always makes for good radio. And joining us live once again, it's funny bugger Peter Rosethorne. Yes, it's all coming up on the only radio program hosted by two fictional characters from the fertile mind of Amanda Vanstone, Martin Malloy. Martin Malloy, good afternoon, people. Welcome to our Thursday edition right around the country. And do we sound different?
I don't know.
We're in a tiny metal box. What's going on? Anyway, we'd like to introduce ourselves in case you're just joining us. It's me, Tony Martin, and this bloke over here, a man for whom every day is Mick Happy Day, Mick Malloy.
Thanks, buddy.
It's true.
Turn that frown upside down,
he's
people.
As Mick Happy as Larry. And what's going on in Canberra?
Oh, Tony, shares. We're sitting on the top of Sharegate.
Oh, yeah.
The Liberal Party, it seems, are sitting on a huge pile of shares. They can't divest quick enough. Did you see the meeting of the Liberal Party front bench yesterday, Tan?
No, what happened?
It was incredible. I thought it was footage from the floor of the stock exchange. It was just a room full of blokes in suits going, sell, 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 whatever you do, sell. The only person going, buy, 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 was John Howard as he waved farewell to members of his own party as they cleared out their lockers. What is going on?
I don't know.
What is going on? They're dropping like flies. I don't know how many shares they got between them, but I have a strange feeling if they all sell at once, the arse is going to fall out of the Australian economy. Have you seen the Liberal benches in the House of Reps?
What's it?
They're all sitting there like those ducks in a shooting gallery while the opposition just take pot shots. Every time one drops, Kim Beazley gets another fluffy toy.
Mm.
The Liberal Party are going to have to employ an usher to show party members to their new seats. It's like a huge game of musical shares. When the music starts, they all rush off and buy up. When they get back, one seat is missing. Make sure it's not yours. And as for those ministerial guidelines, they make about as much sense as the Unabomber's manifesto. No one, it seems, is able to get their head around it. For something that was supposed to be unambiguous, there seems to be just a few interpretations.
Oh, yeah.
I think they were written by James Joyce shortly after Finnegan's Wake. Two avant-garde theatre companies are currently competing for the rights to put them on as a play. Stephen Berkoff wants to perform it as a dramatic monologue, delivered while he's strung up above the stage like Richard Harris in A Man Called Horse. Ministers must have to regard the interest of their families.
That's like a very good one.
Our apparent conflict between interest and duty arises.
You be careful, Mickey. He's in here tomorrow.
Oopsie.
He could go off.
He could smack. And what I can't work out is why can there be so much controversy over the exact meaning of these ministerial guidelines?
I don't know.
Surely they could be a lot simpler, a lot easier to follow, more straight to the point. And I've knocked some up.
Have you?
An easier version,
You've got your own guidelines.
Well, I think so. This will clarify the matter for all sitting members.
Take us through a minute.
Okay. Starting off, fairly straightforward. Ministers must divest themselves of all shares should the poo hit the fan.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Are we on board? Ministers must not pinch the Minister for Foreign Affairs' red nose.
No.
No, I think that's just politeness.
Sure. Understood.
Ministers must not pick the Prime Minister up by the back of his pants and hurl him round the room dwarf style.
Yeah.
Ministers must abstain from warding off the Treasurer by throwing holy water.
I think that's
a must.
He hates that.
Ministers must not crudely reenact Pamploma's running of the bulls by charging down the corridors of Parliament House just in front of the Minister for Education.
No, I don't think that's too hard.
You're allowed to have fun.
It's good for a laugh.
But you've got to have some rules.
It's a breach of the guidelines.
Ministers must be aware their leader was not the star of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And ministers must do everything they can to prevent Kim Beazley sitting the Prime Minister on his lap and drinking a glass of water while the Prime Minister addresses Parliament.
Hi, this is Sky. Joining us on the show tomorrow...
That's new from Phil Collins. Dance into the light here at Martin Malloy, where we're sounding like we're at the bottom of a tiny coal mine.
That's where we're coming to you from today, people. The bottom of a coal mine.
I'm not sure if it sounds like this at home, but it sounds like that in our headphones. Someone's buggering around with the treble button down in control, but we'll forge on anyway. And I think we'll have ourselves a good old-fashioned Martin Malloy crime watch. And listen to this, Mick. News from Bogota in Colombia. Colombia. We're under a new traffic safety program. Jaywalkers and other traffic offenders will be pulled over and publicly ridiculed by white-faced mime artists. Heard about this?
No.
Oh, that's a terrifying deterrent. Mm. Having the piss taken out of you by a mime. Well, a bloke in whiteface in Colombia, that could just be one of the locals getting into a bit of Scarface action. But imagine that. You're pulled over and you have to stand there while some dork dressed as Marcel Marceau walks against the wind for 10 minutes. Just give me a ticket, will you, Francois? Remember, in Colombia, if you drink and drive, you'll be harassed by a bloody idiot. Now, speaking of South American gear, have you heard about this story in the paper today? Cocaine weighing more than 2 kilograms was found hidden in the shoes of a Venezuelan businessman as he tried to walk through customs at Sydney Airport on Monday. Mm. I think the operative word here is tried. As he tried to walk through customs, customs officials called in the federal police after noticing the man's unusually bulky shoes. He must have had the big Kiss-style elevator boots on. Here's your passport, sir. I'll just hand it up to you.
Thanks very much. I'll be on the way now.
There he goes. Sure enough, the shoes were found to contain over 2 kilos of high-grade cocaine with an estimated street value of close to $500,000. And this is the bit I like. The businessman told police he didn't know the shoes contained the cocaine. I reckon I'd spot 2 kilos of cocaine if someone hid them in my boots. Mickey, don't know about you.
Yep.
Ah, I got that big flight to Australia. Might just slip into my comfy shoes. Ah. There he goes there. Or you know how sometimes your feet expand on a long flight?
Yes.
Maybe that's what he thought it was. Have you struck that phenomenon? It's something to do with cabin pressure. It's always, you know, happening to Alexander Downer when he makes an overseas trip. When he leaves Australia, he's fine, but when he touches down, he's somehow wearing 2-foot-long shoes. Mind you, he's also wearing that red nose and an orange fright wig. I don't know if that can be put down to cabin pressure. But giant shoes filled with drugs.
Mm.
I think we found a new way for Jason Donovan to combine both his interests, bad fashion and illegal substances. See him making his entrance in that new play he's doing in London. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jason Donovan. I think we'll be enjoying this sound effect all day. And in a completely unrelated story, have you heard about this? Pizza Hut have named the person who'll be their new public face in all their TV ads. Rose Hancock Porteous.
Oh, good.
Driving that little van round. I'll have a blood sample with a lot, please, Rose.
Radio Gladiators is coming up. Call us now on 1-800-657-657 on the USAFM.
That looks good on him is you here at Martin Molloy, beset with technical problems today. Mm. So I reckon what we do, Mickey, is enough of this show. Let's have some British radio.
Okay.
Want some British radio?
Yes, please.
I've got some here. Have a listen to this.
Well, hello to you and welcome to Time for a Chat here on BBC Radio 4. I'm your host, Michael Wisby, and this afternoon it's Time for a Chat with actor Michael Caine. Michael, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Michael. It's great to be here.
And I'd like to begin, if I may, by asking a few questions about your film career.
Certainly. Fire away.
You've been appearing on the cinema screen for what, about 40 years now?
Thereabouts, yes.
You've appeared in nearly 100 films.
I have, yes.
And with the exception of 10 or 11 of them, they've all been absolute shit, haven't they?
Yes, Michael, they have.
I mean, films like Blame It on Rio, The Holcroft Covenant, Sweet Liberty, Surrender, Bullseye, Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, Jaws the Revenge, Half Moon Street, Water, On Deadly Ground with Steven Seagal,
that one.
Without a Clue, Mr. Destiny, Noises Off, The Island, The Swarm, Beyond the Limit, X, Y, and Z, Hurry Sundown, Ashanti, The Jigsaw Man, Silver Bears, Escape to Victory, that soccer film with Sylvester Stallone.
Ouch.
The Hand. Harry and Walter Go to New York.
Right.
Blue Eyes.
Yes, Michael. Absolute shit, every last one of them.
Is it difficult maintaining such a consistently low standard?
Well, yes, it is, because obviously you get sent scripts and you don't know. You think this could be fantastic or this could be really awful, so I better do this one.
Uh-huh.
But then you could get the wrong director and he'll turn it into something good like Sleuth or Alfie.
Oh,
and by the time you realise it's too late and you're stuck with it on your CV. Nice. I'm lucky I haven't got too many of those, and you tend to sort of hide them away, you know, down the bottom of the list.
I'm sorry, Michael, I'm going to have to interrupt you here because it's time for something special here at Radio 4. It's a little idea we've imported from Australia called Rocktober. So if you'll excuse me, I'm afraid I'm going to have to rock out for a few moments. Ooh, there. Now, getting back to you, Michael, in 1987 you won an Oscar for your performance in Hannah and Her Sisters.
Yes.
That must have been tremendously disappointing for you.
Well, yes, obviously. I tend to think of it as an aberration. I certainly hope it won't happen again.
And do you mind me asking, what's next for you?
Well, I've been offered the lead in the new Stanley Kubrick film.
You'd be turning that down, surely.
Like a shot.
Michael Caine? Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
And all the best with whatever appalling straight-to-video release you decide to turn your hand to next.
Thank you. I'm sure it'll be absolutely fun to do.
Are you having a pot of shite again?
Yes, please. Well, what, would we abandon it at this stage, just when it's hitting its straps?
Okay, it's leading to something, I'm sure. And also, in the next hour, Peter Rosethorne's going to be in. Yep. He's always got ants in his pants.
Full of beans, that boy.
All right, we'll get some beans out of him. In the next hour, also, Radio Gladiators is coming up. And today, it's fun, yet again.
We had fun last week, remember?
Yeah, we're doing it again.
We're going to try and have some more fun today. Also, I'm just going through the papers, checking out the news and pictures, because there's some great pictures in the papers today. Mm-hmm. What about this one with, well, it's Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance, the man who, as we know, has to have sex within 1 hour of coming off stage. He's seen here at the launch of his new show in London with two gorgeous supermodels. Mm. Yeah, check that out.
It's a good shot from the waist up, but just below that photo tone, if you can see his legs, they're going bananas. He's doing the jig. He's got happy feet.
And he's just about to tear away. He's obviously just come off stage.
Yes.
I think with that. Who does he remind me of? Michael Flatley. Mm. Who does he looks like somebody. That hair. He wasn't one of the blokes in Bucks Fizz, was he?
Oh, no.
He looks like he might have been.
Lord of the Fizz.
Michael Flatley, Lord of the Fizz. We'll ask him that when he comes out. Oh, what about this? Have you seen this new painting of Pauline Hanson everyone's talking about?
Certainly have.
Yeah, it's incredibly realistic, Mick. It doesn't matter where you stand, the prejudice, hatred and ignorance follow you around the room.
That's great, isn't it?
She's looking good. It makes that Mona Lisa look like a crabby old hag, doesn't she?
What else?
Even as an oil painting. She's no oil painting.
No.
Well, also, here's a good photo in the paper for you today, Tone. It's of Michael Hutchins.
Yeah.
Leaving his house in Chelsea.
Yeah.
Looking for his car.
Right.
He's forgotten. It's in the paper and he's forgotten where he's parked the car. And it says his two daughters, Peaches and Pixie, giggled as they fired Hutchins up and down in the street. And Hutchins is quoted as saying, "I can't remember what I've done with the car." Which is incidentally what Rose Porteous said when they pulled her up in it. Can't remember where I parked the car. Yeah, leave some advice. Ask the nanny.
Exactly.
She'd be able to tell you, I reckon. She could spot it from 1,000 yards off.
If there's some chocolates in there, she'll find it.
Found it.
There he is, Michael Hutchins, Lord of the Leather Pants.
He never forgets where he left those, does he?
No.
And here's the other one. We're talking pictures in the paper. Here's one they won't get. Here's one they're all trying to get. This is the one worth the big buckaroonies at the moment, Tone. There's a $420,000 bounty on Madonna's new kid. What's it called?
Lourdes.
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 Lourdesy. As opposed to Midjiguri, which was the second name on the list. And, Dane, I don't think they're going to get that photo. And you know why?
Why is that?
She doesn't like the attention, the new baby. No, she doesn't like the attention. And she's already pretty good at giving the media the slip. That's why she was born cesarean section.
Really?
Did you know that? Yeah. She thought she'd give the assembled media the slip by stepping out a side door instead of the main entrance.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment. Your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Today we're once again appealing to your ingenuity. We did this last week. We had to turn a lot of people away. Fun. We're looking for fun, but cheap fun. Mm. Fun that don't cost you nothing, because this was, I think, prompted by talk in the papers of, you know, kiddies resorting to train surfing and drugs because they're bored, because they haven't got anything else to do.
Yep.
And
they don't have the means
to
go out and buy front row tickets to the three tenors concert.
Okay. So we're saying, well, let's come up with some cheap ways, things that cost you virtually nothing. Ways to amuse yourself, keep yourself out of trouble. Mm. Do you remember what I think our winning suggestion was? It wasn't something we'd like to encourage.
No.
But it was, no, we probably shouldn't.
Yeah, it was. I think it was standing on the side of the road with the flash out of your camera. Flashing cars. Hilarious fun.
Yeah.
Highly illegal. And you never heard it here, people. But otherwise, loads of fun for nothing.
I think it makes people think about the speed they're driving at.
There you go.
I think it does.
We're providing a community service here.
What, Amanda Vanstone's found a way to have fun for nothing. Inventing families.
Fictional friends.
Okay. Amanda and her imaginary friends. She's surrounded by them.
And they're all rorting the system.
Yep. Okay. Have you got any cheap ways to have fun, Mickey?
Yeah. When I'm when I've got some spare time on my hands and I've got no cash and I want to amuse myself, you know what I do?
What's that?
Audition for musicals.
Do you?
Yeah.
Just go along.
You just go along and front up. Yeah. It's costing you nothing. You know what I do? I get dressed up as Tavia. From Fiddler on the Roof, no matter what it is.
No matter what it is,
I put on the big boots and the little vest and the hat, and I sing If I Were a Rich Man while I walk around feeding chooks, feeding imaginary chooks. If I were a rich man, it'd be beady, beady, beady. And it's fun. You know what I do? I do that for all job auditions.
Do you really?
Yeah. Every time you go for a job interview, people, dress up as Tavia, walk around the room pretending to feed imaginary chooks, belting out a number. Trust me, that's how I got this job.
Okay, if we're talking dress-ups, what about getting a white cane and putting on some sunnies?
Mm.
Going down to a department store and just trying to go up the down escalator. Just do that for ages.
We're trying to go up the down escalator.
There you go. And eventually someone will come over and turn you around. But it's fun to be had. Mm. It's fun to be had, cost you nothing.
That sounds like almost too much fun. All right, I mean.
Here's another dress up. If you can get a pantomime horse, and I don't think they cost much.
No.
Just get yourself a pantomime horse suit. Go down the zoo and try and get in through the turnstile and tell the people you're visiting Rellos.
I'm visiting the Rellos. Let me in. I know Davo. Check him out. He's in the reptile enclosure.
Cheap ways. I've talked about a couple of ways to have fun before on this show. If you want to drive around in your car, if you've got some tuba music on a cassette, just go up beside overweight people, turn the windows down, and provide them with a tuba accompaniment. They're walking up the street. They're getting...
So basically what you're suggesting is people should stalk fat people in their cars with the windows down playing tuba music. Is that your suggestion?
Look, I'm
you're
saying...
full of good ideas.
It costs you nothing. And it's probably one just for skinny blokes like me.
Mm.
But there you go. It's fun for nothing.
Here's one I like to do. You know those workman tents you often see set up on the side of the road?
Oh,
they're
yeah.
A little tent and it's on a pavement and it's usually leading down to somewhere. Stand at the front. Just harass people as they go past. Hey, buddy, want to see a show? $10. First drink free. Come on. We got beautiful ladies.
And if you see one of the workmen coming back from the shops with his sandwiches about to go into the tent, you just stand there and go, mate, not dress like that. Not dress like that. Go home, get changed, come back.
All right.
Pretend it's the world's smallest circus.
Roll up. Roll up. Come see a couple of midgets on the high wire.
It's my smallest circus yet.
Now, there you go.
See?
Ways to have fun, cost you nothing. That's what we're looking for today. And do we have a prize? Gracie? Yes, we've got a couple of top videos. We've got that new Blackadder Christmas Carol and a close shave, the Wallace and Gromit Oscar winning effort. It's top fun for the whole family, and you'll go into the drawer for a trip for you and three friends to visit the Galliano Sambuca singles parties at Club Med Noumea.
Wow.
If that doesn't scream fun with a great big F, I don't know what does, and we're drawing that tomorrow. So, yes, call us now. Here's a cheap way to have fun. Just listen to this music. Yeah, I'm enjoying this.
Oh, yeah.
I might pop out to the foyer and get myself a choc top. Call us with your fun ideas. 1-800-657-657.
Matt and Malloy. Damned if I know what they're on about on the new SAFM.
That's Everlasting Love from Gloria Estefan here at Martin Malloy. Today on Radio Gladiators, we're just looking for cheap fun.
Correct.
We're looking to make our own fun
Fun for the young people. Ideas the young people can use without recourse to train surfing, ecstasy, death metal and swearing.
Let's see if we've got any good examples on the phone. Who's first, Mickey?
It's Chris. How are you, buddy?
Not too bad, thanks, mate. Yourself?
I can't complain at all. Now, hit us with your big old idea. This is cheap fun. It's not going to cost you anything and it's going to provide loads of entertainment for all involved. What is it?
What you do is you find a nice busy street, yep, corner, and you look just straight up in the air. And before you know it, you've got about 20 or 30 people walking past, looking up, trying to see what you're looking at.
That's ingenious. So you're like a big fun magnet, Chris.
Yes.
How big a crowd have you assembled using this technique?
About 30 people at the most.
And what happens at the end? Is there a punchline? Do you just walk off saying, my neck's locked up?
Yeah, you just walk off, and then the other people come up and see the rest of them looking up and join the fun.
Oh, I see.
So it goes on and on.
Yeah.
It never ends. It's a never-ending prank fun thing to do.
It's very similar to the one Russell Gilbert used to tell me he used to do, which was stand there looking down a grate going, "It's all right, we're coming to get you. Just relax. Help's on the way." He did that for 2 hours on end.
Oh,
never tired.
He still does it too from time to time.
All right, well, I don't know if we can award a prize for just suggesting looking up. So let's move on to Shannon. Shannon, what have you got?
I like driving around in shopping centres in the car parks, and I just wait for people that put their indicators to go in the parks, and I steal them.
Oh, you beat them to the park!
Oh, that's excellent.
And is it satisfying? Do you give yourself a big high five if you
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it's pretty good, because you don't even have to go inside and see them inside. You just pull out once they've parked, and you go and do it to someone else.
Yeah, it's brilliant. You know what I used to do? I used to actually get a park, right, in a busy city street, and then just sit in it with my indicator on as if I'm about to pull out. Yeah. And you can make those suckers wait for hours. Yeah. You're sitting inside the car laughing maniacally. And it just goes on and on. Yeah. You never move. Sit there, indicator on. Sometimes you get out and go and have a drink, coffee across the road, come back.
Like you say, Mickey, it is possible to have too much fun, I feel. Thanks, Shannon. Now let's talk to Sam. Sam, you've got a fun idea, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I've got two, actually.
Oh, well, give us number one first.
You write on both sides of a piece of paper, turn over for a surprise.
Yeah.
Then you give it to the dumbest person you know.
Oh, right.
And they just turn it over.
Yeah.
I got it on both sides, obviously.
I think that's what John Howard did with his ministerial guidelines. They're still trying to work it out.
Hang on, I've been doing this for days.
That's how Amanda Vanstone came up with that fictional family. Just kept turning over the piece of paper.
All right, well, what else are you sitting on, Sam?
And I've still got one more.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you go into a $2 shop.
Yep.
And you buy something, and then you ask the cashier for a price check.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Hang on, that's costing you money. It's cheap. Well, I know. Yeah. Does that get in? Does that qualify? It's cheap, isn't it?
It's $2 worth of fun.
All right. That's a good $2 worth of fun. All right, thanks, Sam. And now we've got Deborah. Deborah, you've got a fun idea, haven't you?
Yes. When we were kids, we used to tie cotton at night to the old door knockers on the doors, and we'd go around the side of the house and we'd sit there for hours just knocking on someone's door, or we'd, you know, go and do it to different houses and that. And if we got caught, we just used to run off and... you know, things like that.
Oh, okay. So what do you do? Explain it to me. You're sitting across the road. You've got it on a piece of fishing line or something.
No, we try the string up and can sit around the side of the house and things like that.
Just pulling the string?
Just pulling the string, letting them open the door and then shutting it again and doing it, you know. Every time you think they're sitting down snug in that, you bang on the door again.
You must have been very popular in the neighbourhood, Deborah.
Well, we had three brothers and two sisters and that, so and practically the whole street used to do it in the end.
Did you ever do that one where you get a really long bit of string, tie it to the front door handle, run it across the road, tie it to somebody else's door handle, knock on both doors
simultaneously?
No,
we've never done that one, no.
People come to the door,
done that.
Yeah. There's something to shoot for.
Yeah.
You've got to have an ambition. Thanks, Deborah. And now we've got Steve. Steve, you got some fun?
Yeah, g'day, mate. What you do is you go to the beach and you buy some fish and chips and you go to the point where the... surf's breaking, and then you see all the seagulls flying around, and then you just throw the chips in, and then Bob's your uncle, they go for it, and then the wave goes all over them.
Oh, right, so you're dunking a few seagulls.
Yeah, they have a bit of swimming practice, you know.
And if someone spots you doing this, do you just, like, say that you're returning the fish to their natural habitat?
I'm doing a bit of fishing, and it's my lure.
Chucking a bit of battered flame in the waves going...
Didn't see the bird.
It's what he would have wanted. All right, well, there's a bit of fun.
It's too much fun.
Taking it out on the gulls.
How do you come up with something like that? How do you come up with a cockamamie plan like that?
All right, well, Chris, he's got a cockamamie plan. What is it, Chris?
How are you going?
Good.
I have this friend. He goes down to the pub on Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah.
And he finds some poor sucker who's broken up with his wife. He's dead upset and everything. He just goes, hangs around them. And because the guy's so upset and he's buying drinks for himself, he ends up buying drinks for the other guy, so he gets free beers and everything.
Jeez. So he's preying on human sadness. That's your cheap fun night out, is it?
From what I hear, he does it every Friday and Saturday night. I work with the guy on Saturday, so
yeah, yeah. Chris,
I'm not listening.
When you say friend, come on.
It's okay. Not me, okay? It's not me.
All right, well, I don't know. That's a dubious one, that is. But I suppose you're getting a few cheap drinks, and it's fun at somebody else's expense, I suppose.
All right, we'll accept.
Well, okay, let's move on to Nicole. Nicole, have you got something more savoury than that last call? What have you got?
Yeah, when the kids have been annoying, you give them a bucket of water and a paintbrush, and you ask them to go and paint the fence. And as they're painting away, because the water... Before it dries on the fence, it's dark. They think they're actually using paint.
Oh, they think they're painting the fence. And they're actually just wasting their time.
Yeah, that's right. A couple of hours later, they'll come in and ask you to admire the good job they've done, and it doesn't look any different, really.
Yeah, what have you been doing? You've been goofing off. This looks exactly the same as it did 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Get inside.
Gee, so just painting. That's a bit like that one I remember from the Charlie Brown comics. I used to do it on my little brother. You just get a square bit of wood, and you put it down on the lawn, and you tell him, if you lift it up, it's a trapdoor and stairs that go down to a big place full of lollies. And I get him 7, 8, 9 times an hour with that one.
You got me with that yesterday.
That's right.
What are you talking about?
There's a cheap way to have fun. All right, Nicole, getting the kids to paint nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cheap way to have fun. But is it our winner, Mickey? What do you reckon?
No,
about?
I don't, Tone. I'm very close to going with the $2 shop because
yes.
I just think that is a great way to have fun. Yes.
Kind of ingenuity we were chasing. Are you there, Sam?
Yes, I am.
The $2 price check. Going down the $2 shop asking for a price check. Very nice. You've got yourself 2 comedy videos.
Thanks a lot.
Including The Close Shave, the new Wallace and Gromit film. And you've gone into the draw for you. And have you got 3 friends?
Well, let's hope so.
After that turning over paper racket, I'd be surprised if you had any at all. But anyway, if you've got 3 friends, you could be taking them to the Galliano Sambuca singles party. I think you might have to wait till you're old enough, I'm afraid, Sam. But anyway, you could be heading for Club Med Noumea eventually. All thanks to our friends at Club Med Noumea. I'm not sure if we've got ourselves in trouble or not, but anyway, we've had fun. That's all that matters. We'll be back in the next hour with someone who's always on for fun, Peter Rosethorne.
This is Martin Malloy.
Oh, boy, that makes me feel so much better.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
In this hour of Martin Malloy, the program that's one long conflict of interests. We'll go fishing in the pot of shite. We'll open the file marked extraordinary. And next up, find out what, if anything, is on the mind of Peter Rosethorne. All thanks to Coca-Cola. It's that ultimate.
Come and find me. My name is Margarita.
There it is, the short and ruined version of the Macarena. It's Los Del Rio here at Martin Malloy.
Let's see that Lord of the Dance get around that one.
Well, let's get our guest in here, shall we? This bloke, he's been in many times before. He's a comedian, an actor, a close friend of Kamal. He's been appearing in the Rocky Horror Show since 2 years before it was written, as far as I can tell. He's been enjoying the Macarena. He's the Lord of the Dance with ants in his pants. He's Peter Rosethorne. Do you find yourself just doing it? If you're driving around in the car and it comes on the radio, do you know all the moves, Peter?
The hands are off the wheel and you're just jumping away and you're crashing and going places. Hey, Macarena, sorry. Sorry, kids.
And where have you been going places? Where have you been? What have you been doing?
I've been doing the Jedabad thing, you know, because it's a wasteland over in Perth. I've now discovered I can't get work there at all.
Run out of town.
This goes out in Perth if you want to just do a little situations vacant or a little...
Yeah, for sure. I've got 1 month,
one last ride. I'll be there all November if you want to book me for any function at all, people. I'm talking Lollipop Man, school crossing, anything.
Bursting out of a cake, would you do that?
Yeah, I'll do anything. Nudity, happy with that.
A bit of manpower style. You got an act along those lines?
The manpower thing. What's the go with those? The manpower posters around Melbourne. I mean, not all over Australia, really. But the white thing, the white groin thing, and you're thinking, that little stash down there is not real, is it? Looks like a plastic mole. And they've gone, okay, back or inbuilt. All right, mate, fill her up. Thanks very much.
And what annoys me is when I bought mine, I was told it was a one-off. And then I see the manpower poster and I go,
everyone's got them.
But you haven't been in Perth, you've been overseas.
I've just been recently in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong?
Hong Kong.
And what's happening in Honkers?
Well, I did a bit of stand-up over there. And, which is weird, because they didn't know what I was saying.
No, it was just that.
It was just all of my... But the controversial part of the whole thing, I'm flying in.
Mm.
First off, I've got the international flight, because I'm going international.
Of course.
Which
makes sense.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well done.
So I'm flying along, and I've got the trolleys come across with the drinks. I've gone, few things very much. Yeah. Reach for the wallet, of course, as you do, by habit. Mm. And they go, hold on, it's free.
It's free.
You don't know. It cannot be. I say, just a test, can I have another one? And they go, yeah. And I go, come on. Another? And legless, absolutely legless. I was coming into Hong Kong, and this is a beautiful landing. If you go to Hong Kong, you come in at night time, well, I did anyway, and beautiful light settings there, and the plane's coming in, and beautiful, and the buildings are there all lit up, and you're getting, and the buildings are getting a bit closer, and you're going, that's controversial. And a little bit closer, and now it's just getting stupid now. And you're looking on the roofs, and you see people on their roofs, hanging out in the roofs of their houses, you know, and I'm thinking, that's traditional Asian black hair, but they're Thai marks. Let me tell you, that's a low plane, way too low. You know, and there's people hooked up on the wings going, oh, boom. Having a quick glance down, a couple of kids have dipped their cricket bats in a couple of iridescent pink paint, and they're flagging them.
There's a cheap way to have fun.
That's right. All of a sudden, they wave it to the left. You know, we land on the harbour. There's a bit of sludge around Hong Kong. Chela bus comes out, comes and gets us. We go through the sort of customs bit, and they're sort of heavy duty situations. Join the taxi queue. I've never seen a taxi queue quite so large.
Mm.
You know, the big squiggly queues they always have at the show and that, up and back. Mm. Got to the front, expecting a bouncer to be there, going in front of the cab. Like, not in those shoes, mate. Sorry, not in those shoes. That's terrifically long. But Hong Kong, now, you get this funny thing. You walk around the streets, and you get that funny, it's a bit of smog. It sits in a valley, and the smog just sits with you the whole day.
Yeah.
And you'll be walking along, and you get that funny thing where the ratio to air and carbon dioxide just cuts out for a second. So all of a sudden, you just go, and you find yourself just crumpling to the ground, and people check your money, going, oh, that's a bit sad.
Nobody light a match.
And the locals over there, controversial. If you're walking along, every 50 yards, you will hear this sound. Now, I had an older brother.
Yes.
Every time I hear that sound, I just go, whoa! And start a bit of a run. Go, whoa!
Women and children first.
And I get to one street. It was actually called Phlegm Road. I'm going, hey.
Was it really?
I'm sorry, not here. I'm not going up there. I don't care what's there.
Are people packing their bags? Are they getting ready to clear out? Because the use-by date's coming up for Hong Kong, isn't it?
It is coming up, but there's a bit of a mixed reaction there. Apparently, the Chinese people are having politeness lessons.
Are they really?
Because they get caught up in the whole hustle of Chinese thing. They go, get out of here. But over there, so they're preparing themselves for the big changeover in that way, trying to be polite. But the locals over there are pretty rude. They've got it pretty much down pat.
And the locals over there now, are they going to get their bond back? Have they been looking after the joint?
Well, it's harsh. I mean, there's two radio stations here, the local one that goes out, and there's also the army station. Now, what the army station is doing on the actual changeover date is they're clearing out of the building. All the army guys have to get out of the building.
Right.
So they're actually going to get their radio station to a boat and go out to the harbour and transmit from there.
Yeah, really?
Right up until the very takeover point.
Do they have Rocktober in Hong Kong, do you know, Peter?
Rocktober.
and what were you doing? Were you really over there doing gigs?
Yeah, I was doing gigs over there. There's mainly expats that came and saw me. You know,
So there's a heavy expat population, population in Hong Kong, is that what you're telling me?
Oh, not Australian so much, but more of your English and your Scottish. It's huge. I make huge money over there. Mm. But rent, you'll be paying rent. This is unbelievable. Rent over there, Australian-wise, is about three, for a scungy flat, right? Horrible. About $3,000 a week. A month.
A month.
That's a lot to pay, I think. That's a lot to pay. That is a lot to pay.
And over the top.
What about the top?
Did you see much filmmaking? Because there's an incredible film industry in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
An incredibly dangerous film. They don't have quite the same safety regulations we have here in Australia. If you've ever seen a Jackie Chan film.
I've seen Jackie. There's numerous Jackie lookalikes around there, you know. Jackie Chan? Oh, I'm sorry.
yes.
Jackie Chan? Oh, I'm sorry.
It could well be him. He makes three or four films a day. That's what I'm told. Can you stick around for another break with us, Peter?
I'd love to.
Okay, that'll be next. Thanks. Martin Malloy. Ground here at Martin Malloy. Peter Rosethorne is with us today. And what's happened, Peter? Did you have some kind of accident you're telling us about?
Yeah, it's a bit of a story. It's not a long story. Yeah. And, hopefully it's not too boring. I went to a clairvoyant. Because we're a family. My mother is a heavy clairvoyant goer.
Really?
We'll go to the clairvoyant at any opportunity.
Mm. Do you have a family clairvoyant, or did you have to get out the yellow pages?
Oh, she will travel to Dandenong places everywhere. She'll just go. I've heard someone is good at whoopee. She's off. With the wedding ring starting to feel that. What is it? Well, it's a ring. Wandering along Ackland Street. There's one down there in St Kilda in Melbourne. I'll give it a go.
Is it your first time clairvoyant?
Well, other than friends doing the occasional tarot cards after a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, right.
We'll just start again. And that's always a scary thing when they get halfway through something and go, oh, dear, that's not good. That's all right, we'll just start again.
And it's got a skeleton. Is that good? It's always a skeleton.
A death card, is that? Can that be a happy card?
They normally do say, no, that's a good sign. That's the Grim Reaper. That's the bloke from the Physical commercial. Don't tell me that's good news.
Exactly. So I've gone in there, and she sat and she explained. Phil, she was doing the ring feeling thing. And she's like, okay. And she's writing all this stuff. And she said, she got to a point, she went, oh, that's interesting. I went, what? She said, well, you're going to be in some sort of parade. I'm going, oh, great, Moomba, something big. You know, I'm like, kidding, what's happening? And she said, now, what's going to happen is you're going to be struck. You'll be struck.
Yes.
Back to the left. Back to the left.
And I think, I'm dead. And she said, no, you're not dead. And I said, am I hurt? Well, I'm thinking, oh, no. But don't worry, you're going to turn around and you're going to embrace that person. I'm thinking, well, that's a big call, you know, if I'm hurt.
And it's quite specific information, too. It's tall, dark stranger business.
And so I've done that. I've just forgotten about the whole thing. A month later, I've gone go-karting.
Oh, no.
With a whole lot of my comedy mates, you know, Timmy Smith and Marky Neal. Marky Neal being the culprit in this situation. There I was, parading around in the go-karts, doing your practice laps, your warm-ups. Oh, yeah. Look at us, 30 years of age over. Hey, mature. Going up there, first lap, first corner, gone around the first corner, got jostled himself into a position, ran about third last. Okay, so not the greatest driver in the world. I've cut across a bit of a line there of Mark Neal, and he's bumped my car. Right. His front wheel's jumped over my back wheel. The momentum of my back wheel has flipped my cart upside down. And I didn't swear.
Didn't you?
I didn't. No, I just felt my arm, because I had the T-shirt on, and I thought I was wearing the board shorts, but no. Luckily, decided to stick with the old jeans, which is a good look. And upside down, I didn't swear, I just went, oh. The only noise I made was, ugh. And apparently, I actually couldn't see because I was just upside down. My cart flipped off me and just did the big spectacular tumble. Nice. And I was lying there thinking, paraplegic, dead, something. Not good.
Not good.
And I'm just lying there. Okay, I can feel my toes. I can feel my arms. I can move my neck. Hey, I'm there. I'm with you. And I stood up and I couldn't see anything. I'm looking at my arms and no blood. I turned the back of my arm over and she'd be gone. You know, there'd just be flesh on the road back there. And I'm like, whoa! That'd be the problem there. Mm. And Mark Neal, and I said, Mark, accident, mate. Turn around and I've gone the embrace.
Really?
Controversial clairvoyant. I was thinking to myself that's
incredible.
Time.
Did you give him a tonguey?
Not in the mouth.
And have you been back to see the clairvoyant since?
No, it was just too freakish for me. In case she has some more bad news, I'm not going back there.
The clairvoyant's given Mark Neal a call and gone, I've got a job for you. Can you do a little job for
exactly.
me? And what happened? Do they rush out a little go-kart ambulance? Do they have one of those?
No,
a little two-stroke ambulance?
The bloke with the tats and no teeth goes, some of those Mercury crime goes, oh, geez, that's unbelievable. What a stick. I've never seen one of those before. It's unbelievable.
And what happens if you win the go-karts? Do you get the little tiny bottle of apple ties and shake it up, tip it on your head?
Tip it on your mates.
You know what I'm looking for with the go-karts? A street circuit. That's what they need. 12 blokes in go-karts. Just making it up as they go along, shooting down the main street. That's got to be fun, any way you look at it.
You're down at Albert Park and just waiting for the car to come round again. Okay, well, it's about 15 minutes before that last lap. Here he comes.
Now, you're talking fun, Peter Rose. So we've got a segment here called Pot of Shite, and our clairvoyant insists it's going to be just so bloody good today.
I live for that sort of gear. Can I stay?
All right, you can. That'll be next. I'm Martin Malloy.
I had No.
Well, Pete Smith, what's it time for?
It's time for radio's premier talent quest, Pot of Shite. Could you be the next Bindi Paxton, the next Ian Buckland, the next Maria Venuti, Yahoo Serious, or Animal, that drummer who used to be on Hey Hey? Even if you're merely the current animal, give us a call and let us lead you to the Pot of Shite at the end of the rainbow.
What are you going to do for us today on Pot of Shite?
I'm going to do that backwards talking dwarf from Twin Peaks doing Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver.
Oh, it's about time.
Snip, you talking to me? Snip, who the hell else are you talking to? Snip, brush stripes. Yeah, make your moves.
I think he gets a bit blue after that.
Every winner on Pot of Shite takes home a 3-pack of CDs thanks to Warner Music and goes into the draw to win a Ford Festiva Trio valued at more than $17,000. Ford Festiva, the escape hatch. Fun to drive and easy on the wallet. All thanks to the Ford Australian Open. Okay, lads, stir that pot.
Glad to, Pete, and filling the guest judge shoes today. Shoes that really should be worn by Bernard King. Today being worn by Peter Rosethorne. Have you had much experience with the talent shows? Have you ever been on a talent show, Pete, at all?
Well, a long, long time ago. I was about nine years of age, I think. Eight, nine. I was at the shopping centre car park at local radio station and come around there doing a few bands. They had a competition, got up.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to crank out the big raindrops clip falling on my head. Trying to drown the big one. And went something a little like this.
Red.
And did you get a prize?
Yeah, I walked away with Lionel Rose, I Thank You. A single.
Hey, I'm surprised to hear wasn't in the competition himself.
That's a collector's item now, but have you still got it?
Gone.
Okay. And, of course, Pot of Shite, a far superior competition in all respects, is sponsored by the Ford Australian Open. Yep. And, Peter, have I seen you taking part in them big tennis comedy matches they have when the proper tennis stops at the Open?
Sensational fun, let me tell you. If you're just a real average tennis player and you're out there, you're mic'd up, you've got the mic there.
Oh, yeah.
I was with Gilbert. Russell Gilbert.
Yeah.
And there's that horrible feeling when you're serving away. There's 10,000 people just gawking at you. And you're thinking, geez, I hope I hit this ball. And you're going, thump, thump, thump on the ground. You jack it up and you do the grandma lollipop serve. And the crowd is going,
Is it a tough crowd? Is it a do you get heckled at the tennis?
No, they're pretty good. They're pretty supportive, you know, because we might also make big dicks out of ourselves. But the mic thing, you're just struggling not to swear, you know, because I haven't played a bit of tennis.
Oh, yeah, it's
and
going
you're thinking,
out.
Yeah, it's not bad. And I got to a point the last time I played, and I said, you've got to let these other guys win. Peter McMurray came and said, you've got to let the other guys, because Paul McMurray.
It's rigged! What are you telling you?
He arranged the event, you know.
And I heard him having the same conversation with Andre Agassi prior to last year's.
And they've served up to me, and I thought, oh, I can't. And I just shut my eyes, but I walloped it a beauty, and it's gone down the line, a beautiful shot, and won the game for us. And I was jumping around going, this is going. Haven't been back since.
All right, well, who's doing the comedy tennis match? Is Alexander Downer going to be taking part in the halftime comedy tennis?
Indeed.
He, if he's listening, could take part in Pot of Shite. We're looking for talent.
Yep.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be great talent, does it?
It doesn't have to be there in abundance.
It's the segment that's lowered the bar. Call us now, 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
Yes, it's time for Pot of Shite here at Martin Malloy, one of the last remaining showcases for up-and-coming talent.
It's Pete on the xylophone, by the way, people.
I love the xylophone, I really do.
Yes, Peter Rosethorne playing the air xylophone. He's seeking to be impressed.
Yeah.
We're seeking to be impressed.
Yeah.
And the greater audience at large is seeking to be impressed by raw, bloody talent. Who's got it, Mickey?
Well, the pressure is right on Michael. How are you, buddy?
Mick and Tony, how you doing?
Yeah, can't complain at this stage. What are we looking at here? What do you got for us?
We got the popcorn with my mouth. The song.
Right,
oh,
popcorn.
The song.
Yes, a bit of classical music.
Hmm.
Okay, is that all we need to know?
That's it.
Okay, take it away.
That's enough.
Eventually. Peter, any thoughts?
Right, I don't know. I had trouble with popcorn when it first came out, but that wasn't bad because I love the way it sped up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's always one of the original. Always to do that. Get it over with. Just come a bit faster, will you? Just get it up.
He's found doing that. He's improved it.
Yeah. It's the techno version.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, can we go better than that, Mick?
I think we can. Hello, Nick.
Hello.
How are you, buddy?
Good.
That's away. What do you got for us?
I've got an impersonation of my brother Chewbacca trying to eat a cat.
Chewbacca eating a cat. I've been dying to hear this. Are you ready to go? Do you need an intro or are you just going to haul off for us?
I think I'm ready to go.
Okay. Thanks
with me.
Take it away. Bit of Wookiee magic.
Wookiee. I thought the Wookiee was the cat early on. I was very confused.
Oh, yes.
It's a fine line. Twig. Oh, you're a genius, man. You're a genius, Nick.
It's a fine line.
I hope that Wookiee finished everything on its plate. I hope so. All right. Well, Nick, it's a line ball between Nick and Michael at this stage. We need somebody to mix it up a bit, Nicky. Mm. All right, Lorraine, can you help us out?
Yes, I've got two pretty little girls, a blonde and a brunette, to sing the Macarena in Spanish.
Oh, pinch me tone. Am I dreaming? Is this true?
And Lorraine, have rehearsals been going on for some time?
Yes, every night we've been trying to get through.
Really?
Yeah.
And how do you feel about a segment called Pot of Shite being a showcase for your offspring?
Oh, well, it's a start. Okay. You've got to start somewhere.
All right, let's hear it. And what are their names?
Jennifer and Jessica.
Okay, whack them on. Let's
hear
it.
Here they are.
Bala tu kwa bali Macarena, tere kwa bali Macarena, Macarena.
There is mum there. Pull Lorraine back on.
Hello.
Lorraine.
Yeah.
Were they doing the movements?
Oh, they do, but they were just too busy trying to get into the phone.
And what about you? Were you doing the movements, Lorraine?
Oh, no, I'm a bit past it.
Okay.
What do you mean? Lorraine, were you hitting with a big stick? Were making them do it? Are you one of those mums, though?
No, I'm not one of those pushy stage mothers.
Oh, yes, you're.
What do you reckon, Pete? Who are you going for?
Am I going for? I have to make my decision now.
Yeah, it's up to you, Bernard.
Okay, now, I was happy with popcorn, the way it's better.
Yeah.
Once I sorted out the Chewbacca thing, I was quite happy as well.
Yeah, who couldn't be?
Kids, I love. Kids. I love kids. Yeah. I love. They're great. They're all great. Yeah. I've got one myself. I think they're terrific.
Okay.
It's hard.
Yep.
I thought long.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Drum roll.
It doesn't usually take this long. Sorry. On a show.
It's because I don't know what to pick. It's the kids. I love kids.
Are you there, stage mom?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Oh, I apologise to Mick and Nick. They were so close.
You can't give it to everyone.
There's a three-pack of CDs. That's one for each of those Macarena Craze Kitties and one for yourself. And you've all gone into the draw for a 17 grand vehicle.
Ooh,
courtesy of our friends at the Ford Australian Open. Thank you, Peter Rosethorn, for...
Can I send a quick cheer before I go to my sick daughter, Maggie? She's at home, crook as a dog. So, g'day, Mags. How you doing? Mm. And my beautiful wife, Gabriel, over there in beautiful Perth.
And does your child do the Macarena, Peter?
Not at the minute, but she just dribbles and gets weird.
Okay.
Well. Yeah, that's a potential winner on Potter Show.
She's on! Tell her to call us tomorrow on Martin Malloy. Jackson, way you make a him feel here at Martin Malloy.
Tonight on The Extraordinary, we take a look at strange markings discovered on a piece of cloth, which amazingly have become the official Olympic logo. We dramatically recreate how it might have happened.
Johnson, how's that official Olympic logo design coming along?
Not very well. All I've got so far is a stupid boomerang.
Yeah, give me a look at that.
Careful, sir, I wouldn't lean on the...
the table.
Oh, Lord, look what I've done to your design. It's brilliant. Quick, copyright it and let's start printing. We're rich, Johnson, we're rich.
Also tonight, Ross Perot. Was that him in the basket of the flying bike in E.T.? Camilla Parker Bowles. Does she have some kind of crying game surprise in store for Prince Charles? Mother Teresa. Seen her lately? Yeah, right. Shouldn't that be great-grandmother Teresa? And in an extraordinary exclusive, we visit a house in England, some believe to be haunted by the ghost of that country's most famous comedian.
There have been many strange occurrences, mostly in this room here.
Right, well, let's take a look then. Wow, that was really scary. I've never been patted on the head by a ghost before.
Yeah, but did you check out the nogs on that other ghost? Hubba bubba.
And finally, my voice. Why does it sound the way it does? For the answers to this question and many, many more, tune in tonight to The Extraordinary.
That's better.
Action that makes you want to go to the bank. Tony Childs, Many Rivers to Cross. Time for us to go virtually.
Oh.
Here at Martin Malloy, just checking the TV tonight. What's on? Well, of course, it's Sex Life with Totty Goldsmith.
More sex tips.
That raunchy program. And if you are watching Sex Life and things are just getting a bit carried away and you need an antidote, just switch over to Hale and Pace. That works fine. Anything else on tonight? You've got NYPD Blue. Did you see The Simpsons a few weeks back when Homer was wearing a short sleeve shirt and a tie to some kind of wedding and Marge told him off and he said, it's good enough for Sipkowitz. I take all my fashion cues from Sipkowitz.
Don't you? He's the one.
He is. And it's easy to forget that The Simpsons is still on, isn't it, on Saturdays. Do you ever remember that?
I never do. And if I do, it's always about 10 minutes after the thing's begun. So
That's been a stupid move from Channel 10, hasn't it?
Clowns. There they go. Look out. In the car with a wonky wheel. The whole programming staff down at Channel 10. Give us a go on the horn. Unk. Yeah, clowns.
Well, what about, speaking of wonky wheels, did you hear about this passengers pushing the plane? Passengers on a British Airways flight stranded at Rome Airport by a strike helped airline staff push the plane out of the runway. About 15 passengers and a similar number of staff pushed the aircraft 40 metres away from the terminal so the captain could start the engines and take off. The plane had faced another 4 or 5 hours on the ground because of striking ground staff refusing to tow it away from the football. We know how frustrating that can be when you've just cleaned the whole plane out of peanuts.
Yeah.
And they're saying, no, there's still another couple of hours. They've gone, bugger it, let's get out and push. That's a great idea.
And so as they're pushing, they're out the back pushing the plane down the thing. Is the pilot, does he run along beside the cockpit, reaching in the window with one hand on the wheel?
I think he probably is. Just riding the accelerator.
There's one play there where the oxygen mask should drop as soon as you take your seat. Get them down, people. What happens if there's a pilot strike? Let's ask for someone to fly. What's going on there?
You can just push the plane all the way to the destination. Every few hundred metres, one passenger gets to go into first class and sit with the feet up while everyone else keeps pushing.
Someone's down the back with the Gregories working out the fastest route.
Well, it's a top idea. Give that a burl. Well, it's Sydney Airport when you get those long waits. Get out and push.
Give that a bash.
We'd like to thank our guest today, Peter Rosethorne, all our gladiators and pot stirrers, and we'll be back tomorrow. There could be trouble, because we're going to be joined live by actor, playwright and theatrical genius Stephen Burkhoff. We always have him on, don't we? The Bergster. I'm sick of him coming on our show. He's a regular. He's one of our regulars. Join us with Stephen Burkhoff tomorrow here at Martin Malloy. And if you can't say something intelligent, I'm not referring to Stephen Burkhoff here, come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment. Pete Smith speaking.